You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Chevrolet. I'm your host, Ross Uglow, the publisher of Bison Report, and joining me right here in studio is Blake Engelbretson. Blake, how are you?
You know what time it is. It's crossover season. It's go time.
It is. It is. Dive right into the news. Men's hoops tips with Minnesota tomorrow. The first meeting since December of 2012, and you're going 0-7. That was always a tough deal, just because very, very good Bison teams that beat Marquette, teams that beat Wisconsin, teams that beat Notre Dame, like teams that went to the dance, teams that beat Oklahoma in the dance, although not that did happen after the Gophers stopped scheduling NDSU, but like the fact that Ben Woodside got four cracks at the Gophers, or at least three cracks at the Gophers, and never beat them seems odd. And honestly, they never really even got that close. Like, it just didn't. And maybe it was, I don't know. It could have been pressure. It could have been this, that, or the other, because, you know, Winkleman was a Minnesota kid. Woodside was a Minnesota kid. Like, a lot of those guys were Minnesota kids. But, 0-7 against the Gophers. And now it's D1 versus D1 exhibitions. They're not secret. They're selling tickets for the game. We're going to the game. Yeah, should be fun. As far as, you know, we're not going to take a ton of time to lock in here because it's an exhibition and who wins doesn't matter. But new head coach Nico Medved only brought in one Colorado State transfer with him and Crocker Johnson. 14 departures in total. And then are these guys coming in?
Yeah.
Okay, so Cade Tyson. Is that North Carolina, Cade Tyson? Wow. Okay.
He was at Belmont before that.
Yeah. Well, he can shoot, sort of. B.J. Omot, which would be a former
Fighting Hawk,
correct, and Langston Reynolds. NDSU Basketball Fan Day, or the Winter Sports Fan Day, on the 29th. I have my kids that week, so that would be really exciting. I'm excited about that. I'll talk more about that on the Bison Report show on Bison 1660 that you guys can catch on Saturday. The Bison have a lot of guys that can play. You'll see, we think, either Wheeler Thomas or Stefanovic as a point guard. I'm fascinated by that whole thing because I don't believe that Dave is going to have one point guard in there for 22 minutes and the other point guard in there for 18. But I also think that that battle is about as evenly matched as it gets. My whole thing is, can you play them together? I think Andy has the size to play the two for spurts. So I'm interested to, like I said, if I don't know that those two should coexist as 40 minutes between their minutes add up to 40 and that's it. I don't know if that makes sense for this team or not. We'll see. The Quarter Marker game, 7 p.m. kickoff again. It'll either be on ESPN2 or ESPNU. And we've got the early FCS playoff committee rankings. NDSU, followed by SDSU, followed by Tarleton, followed by Montana State, and then Montana, UC Davis, Lehigh, UND, Monmouth and Tennessee Tech. James Franklin, like, this is not, you know, Nittany Lion Report radio podcast, but a $50 million buyout is crazy. I offered him a job over the weekend. His buyout says that he has to seek a job in broadcasting. So, you know, if he wants to split part of the Penn State money, he can come work here. And, you know, I'll give him a real low salary that'll keep, you know, Penn State on the hook for a maximum amount there. But $50 million is crazy. Second largest buyout ever. There are eight openings or eight interim head coaches. And Vegan, they're talking about Oregon State. I think he was brought up recently, too, for another Mountain West-ish job, Pac-12-ish job. Can't remember which one it was now. Well, Washington State, the one that Jimmy took.
Oh, right.
Right. So that's there. And I think and boy, I tell you, I have not been more wrong in a very long time than how long, wrong I have been about Luke Fickell. Or just not have been. I thought they made a great hire. I thought that the Cincinnati, everything that he was doing in Cincinnati and his culture, his approach to the Bearcats was going to work in Madison. And brother, it has not. It's crazy what's gone on there. You got to think he's on the hot seat. I think throwing an interim to the dogs this weekend at Ohio State, like, if Ohio State 50 pieces Wisconsin, you can just fire Luke Fickell. But why would you fire Luke Fickell last week and set up your interim head coach to get blasted by the Buckeyes?
Yeah, I think the writing is on the wall in Sharpie this week. That just, because that is in the cards. A 50-point game is in the cards for this week. And
I agree.
Now, what does that mean for his successor?
Yeah, I know people will talk about Polisek because he played football at Concordia Lutheran and is a huge Packers fan and recruits Wisconsin and this, that, and the third. I don't know. I don't know. It seems like a pretty big jump. You know, the only jump that's ever really happened, because Wisconsin, as bad as things are now, Wisconsin is levels with an S above Washington State, especially with what has happened to the Pac-12. The Wisconsin job is levels above Washington State. I think that they have an opportunity to make a splashier hire. Is it going to be a better hire than hiring Tim Polisek? I don't know about that. But I think people remember the Chris Klieman hire and think that that's just a thing that happens. And Washington State has basically fallen back to G5 status. They won't admit it, but look at their games. Look at what's happening. It's bad. And they're not in the Pac-12 anymore. The real Pac-12. And so, you know, a cornerstone program of the Big Ten is probably not likely to grab any head coach, much less the head coach of the Bison, who has been the head coach of the Bison for a year and a half. I think Tim Polisek would do a tremendous job as the head football coach of Wisconsin. I don't know that that's where their brain is.
Yeah, I think that's very good on you for critical thinking, whereas a lot of us just kind of jump the gun, and I'm guilty of that. I mean, because I don't think it's crazy to at least put his name out there. And again, he obviously loves the program and all that and whatever, but the paid jump would be crazy. But there's more, you know, and I don't know who would be an early candidate if that were to happen.
Here, I'll give you a list. Badgers Wire. Badgers Wire is a blog. Okay.
I have a few ideas, but all right.
So, old friend, New Mexico coach Jason Ack.
Okay.
Boy, would I not do that. But.
Ditto.
But, yes. Former Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald. I think that makes some sense. James Franklin. Okay. You could, if things are not going super well, if Baylor wants to get out of the Dave Aranda business, I would guess that the Badgers would like to get back in the Dave Aranda business. DeAnton Lynn, the defensive coordinator that Matt Entz served with at USC, yeah, is an upcomer. Wisconsin, this meant this Fran Brown, I don't think that's going to happen. Lance Leipold, that's an interesting one. Jim Leonard, because Jim Leonard is on the Denver Broncos staff right now.
If he was the D coordinator when Fickell got hired.
Yeah, he wanted the job and didn't get it.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. So they would have to fire their AD to hire Leonard. But the point that I'm making here, and this is turning into the Badgers Report radio podcast, is that on an extensive list, you got one made by a Badgers person, right? Somebody who's connected to the program, understands that their job, because this Badgers Wire is a full-time job. Not that we don't know stuff, but like this person's job is Badgers all day, every day. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 candidates on the list. Whose name did you not hear?
Coach
Impulsic. Yeah. It's not a dumb A to B line to put together, but it's just not. I don't think it's out there right now at this time.
The possibility for him to make a jump at some point is also probably in the card just because of what North Dakota State is. But, man, and again, this is every coach, but he seems to really love this place. I mean, maybe that's just, you know, who he is, and he's going to pour his heart and soul into it. But I don't think it would be a 0% chance that – I do think there's a chance he could stay here for a very long time, for a Craig Bowl like tenure. I mean, is that reasonable to say? I mean,
yeah, he loves it here, man. I will tell you this: it's gonna have to be a hell of a job. It is. It's gonna have to, right. But is it too soon?
Sure.
Right. So, but yeah, it would have to be a hell of a job. He loves it here. Tried to be the head coach here when Matt Entz was named the head coach. Tried to be the head coach here when he was hired and Matt Entz left. I'm not saying he's going to be here for 10 years, but it's going to – and all due credit to Matt Entz, who's the head football coach at Fresno State, 5-2, go Dogs, loving all that. My boy, Jared Taylor, on the staff, loving all things Fresno State right now. I never felt like Matt Entz didn't want the next job. And Tim Paulsek probably wants the next job, but he is very, very, very happy where his feet are, in a way that I just thought Coach Entz was a really good football coach that wanted to continue to climb the ladder. And it's not that Matt doesn't think NDSU is a special place, but he wanted to continue to, like, I still think he wants to be a Power 5 head football coach. That's what Matt Entz wants to be.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Boy, we got off on a tangent there. Really brief recap at SIU. Bison win the turnover margin 3-0. Keenan Wilson's fumble flipped the game completely. That turns directly into a bomb to Bryce Lentz and then a super sexy back shoulder to Bryce Lance, touchdown, and the Bison have a significant
lead going into halftime as opposed to a, you know, tighter game, obviously going into halftime. The defense holding Vincent Davis to one big play, fade over Crumbie. We saw Griffin Willie hit that exact route last year in one of the two South Dakota. It's impossible. It's very, very, very difficult to defend, especially if you don't have a shell coverage over the top. Because if you don't have two or four over the top, that route, as Polisek described it, is to grass. You can throw it back shoulder. You can throw it to the sideline. You can throw it deep. You just kind of throw it wherever the leverage isn't. It's a great play, you know, unless it's against the wrong coverage and then it gets picked off. But it's a tough route when you're in a man look. With that said, Donovan Woolen was really good. Nathaniel Staling was really good. DJ Williams got some stuff in, but then in the second half he didn't. Cole Payton was unbelievable. 19 big time throws and one turnover worthy play. He is the best player in the FCS. He has, as you point out here, not been taken out of the game once, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, unless the Illinois State game, maybe he played the whole, I don't remember exactly, but point being,
right,
he's leaving the game after third quarter.
Yes. Yep.
And he's got a, what is it, 97.4 PFF grade? That's silly.
It is.
That's not real.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
so. Unbelievable. Massive time of possession discrepancies. It flipped in the second half. NDSU held the ball for over 23 minutes in the second half. Polisek wants to be better up front in the tailback run game. Yes, Fraley. Fraley. I love Coach P's passion and the way that he gets fired up and like just how thinking about the way that Trent Fraley is playing the center position caused him to just shout in the middle of a press conference. He's one of a kind, man. I love Coach P. Injuries. Finn Diggins out up to 6 weeks. Carson Williams, a game time decision. Potentially more Reese Kessel. This is a Reese Kessel podcast, in case anybody was wondering. Archibald is back. Jalen Archibald is back. Big time for special teams. And Alex Elliott could potentially come back. They gave him 10 weeks, and coach was like, okay, well, whatever. Well, now it could be more like 8. And the injury happened in camp, not in week 1. So you're starting to think about, okay, well, maybe starting to get ramped up, providing some depth in the linebacker room, and certainly being able to run down there on special teams and unfortunately throw that shoulder at people. But that's the way, obviously, that football works. Okay. Indiana State preview. Coach talked about it. I'm going to talk about it plenty more on Saturday. Bison versus Bison. Like, what do we mean when we say Bison versus Bison?
Well, I mean, it's... I'll give you an example of the press conference Tuesday. Coach P was asked about what quarterback they're looking for. He did not care. He's like, well, we're preparing for number 10, but if the other one plays, like, well, whatever. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, but
right. That
was essentially, you know, they don't really care too much about, because they're going to go out and they're going to play. It doesn't matter. You know, they say faceless opponent, but this week, I mean, it kind of is. In a sense, it's one of those you're looking to fine tune things, because like we have here, it's the game before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if we said that in a press conference asking that question, we would get yelled at, because you never look ahead as a coach, you know, probably as a coach, or at least you don't admit you do. But as for us, we can a little bit, because we know what looms in. What day is it today? 15th? 10 days? 9 to 10 days?
Yes.
So, it's a get right kind of game. Not that they have been wrong in any elements, but it's a fine-tuned game, okay? I mean, dominate the clock. Don't come out flat. get your backups in, get them some good reps, and let it fly. And then you move on to the Dakota Marker in prime time.
Yeah. Again, game before the game. Remember, bring your own juice. Terre Haute, not a great environment. Single-sided stadium. You're going to feel like a big high school game. You're going to feel like a Division III game. The environment's not going to be at a high level. That is for sure. And things aren't great right now for Kurt Mallory's squad. 2-4. We've mentioned before. Recruiting, like, we talk about it all the time, where Minnesota, who has not been the strongest program over the course of the last 20 years, right? They're within 3.5 hours. After that, you got to drive 7 to Madison, 8-ish to Manhattan, Kansas, I guess 6-ish to Lincoln, Nebraska. Like, it's a long drive before you start getting to other FBS programs. There's a wide swath of your ability to recruit areas. And as we've seen over time, Wisconsin and Minnesota. If Wisconsin or Minnesota screws up an evaluation on a kid, or even if they're just full, or they're recruiting nationally instead of locally at that position, or the state is really stocked at that position, right? And you just get a Bo Johnson because the Gophers weren't going to take a Bo Johnson. That's the world they've lived in. Impossible world for Indiana State to live in. Purdue, Notre Dame, IU. You can go on. And by the way, the whole damn MAC, too. Like, not that the MAC is literally in Indiana, but the MAC runs through that whole belt. So it is a hard place to get kids, I think.
Yeah, I think the whole valley kind of, or not the whole valley, but at least half-ish of it kind of deals with that. I mean, even Youngstown, a little bit there. I mean, they're kind
of... It's why I think so much of the success is in the I-29 teams.
Exactly, because you look at the eastern part. Can we call it the eastern part of the conference?
Yes, for sure.
You just look where they're at. They're in Illinois. They're in...
Yep. FBS hotbeds.
Right, exactly. Yep. That's MAC territory. And you're just
And Illinois as a program is up. Indiana as a program is up. Notre Dame as a program is up. Like, all of these areas that they're having to recruit against, Ohio State is as up as it gets, right? Like, all of these Rust Belt spots, everybody's doing great. Hoosiers are up. Buckeyes are up. Everybody's up. Fighting Irish are up. Even the Illini. Like, everybody is having a decent run. Even Iowa State is much better than they have been in a long, long time when you're talking about that whole run of states. Okay. Darius Givens will be out in the first half. The suspension part of the targeting penalty was not overturned. But ultimately, man, this is the game before the game. Everybody's going to be looking ahead to South Dakota State. The Bison can't or shouldn't do that. With that said, Indiana State has allowed 600 yards in 3 of the last 4 games. They've beaten a Division II team, and they've beaten EIU. They are now down to their third-string quarterback, Brock Riddle. Potentially, Elijah Owens could come back. They're also down to their backup tailback, who did run for 200 yards 2 weeks ago and is averaging 8.6 yards per carry on the season, so something to watch. What do you want to see this week?
It's just, like I kind of alluded to a little bit, it's not coming out flat in a fast start. A little bit opposite of the last 2 weeks. And again, give them credit for what they did in the second half. In Normal and at the Dome last week, you know, they dominated the last 30 minutes, but you just can't, they can afford to do that again this week if it happens, but that would be a major, and this is radio, so I can't wave the red flag here, but if they're running 18 plays, Indiana State's 40 again. Not good. Not great, Bob, if that happens. And which it's not going to happen, but there's got to be a little bit of clock control. And if it isn't, maybe it's because NDSU is scoring in three plays and Indiana State runs seven and then punts or kicks a field goal or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be about it. But other than that, clean game, clean up the penalties. And I want to see some young guys get in the late third and early fourth quarter. I want to see Nathan Hayes rip it around. Some other guys get in some action and get some experience.
The first 15, 16, 17, 18 minutes of this game, first quarter and maybe some change. That's what I want to see. Is it 14-0? Is it 21-0? Is like, what do you, because again, 26-point favorites on the road, they're going to win this game. It'd be crazy if they didn't win this game. But you start slow against Illinois State. You start slow against Southern Illinois. Slowish. They're good football teams. But you don't smack them in the mouth from the jump. Your constant pursuit of perfection that you'll never achieve, right? That was, I think, the old Friday Night Lights, right? Be perfect. That's the old, can you be perfect? And this Bison football team isn't going to achieve perfection, but their pursuit of perfection right now, I would say, would be a faster start. So the first 15, 16, 17, 18 minutes of the game are what I am watching. Prediction.
Yeah, just if you got teams like Southern Illinois and South Dakota, and man, I don't know what the world's going on. Still in Vern. It's puzzled me all year, but they're not holding NDSU under 40. And NDSU had 10 points at the 1 minute mark of the second half, or excuse me, the second quarter. And they hung 42, put a 40 burger up. There's no way Indiana State holds NDSU under 40 or even 50 for that matter. So I'm going to go 56-10 in Terre Haute.
Yeah, I think I said 52-7. I mean, I'm right there. I think they score a whole bunch. Give a 7-point bit of respect to Indiana State. But, you saw Indiana 73-0 this joint. So that kind of craziness is unfortunately on the table. Blake, thank you for making the trip out to the studio. Thank all of you wonderful people for listening. Thanks to our every week sponsor, Gateway Chevrolet. And thanks to all of you wonderful people for listening. Have a great rest of your week and go Bison.